So, today I'm going to talk about the most important event of this time of year, especially if you ask Ayla. I'm going to play a little clip and see if you can guess my topic. So it's Eurovision. No? Is that not what you wanted me to talk about? Okay, wrong ABBA. I'm going to talk about Father's Day. Thank you, ABBA. Okay, so I could stand up here and give you men all a list of what the Bible says you should and shouldn't do. But I think most of you already have wives for that. Or I could talk about the fifth commandment and go on into detail about how you should all honour your parents. But fatherhood is not a boss and employee thing. It's much more relational than that. So today I want to talk about relationships. Relationships between fathers and children. I wish I could stand up here and talk about the relationship I have with my dad, but unfortunately, like many other families nowadays, my dad isn't on the scene. He decided to move to Spain, and that's fine. We've learnt to forgive, and we have a different type of relationship with him. But it's not the father-daughter relationship I would have wished for. I am blessed, though. I can't complain, because when my real dad stepped down, I had two amazing men that stepped up. Just like Joseph stepped up for Jesus, I had not one, but two men who stepped up and became father figures in my life. My stepdad Kev and my father-in-law Mike. And these are the sort of men that are described in the Bible. Leaders, supporters, protectors, and teachers. These two men know when something is wrong or needed before I do. Mike and Kev have always been protectors, running me and the kids and the dog to the hospital or vets when we've been sick. They both spoil me massively. For my 40th, Kev took me on a cruise, even though he doesn't like them, and Mike booked me a lakeside cabin at Leeds Castle. Mike has also been amazing at making sure we always have what we need to get by, whether food during COVID and beyond, and paper for home edding. Mike and I also have loads in common, and with the kids have enjoyed films in the park together, Comic-Con, and he even took me and Ayla to Harry Potter World. He didn't actually come in with us, he bought the tickets, he drove us there, he sat in the car for I don't know how long, and then brought us home again. These are my father figures. Now, let's look at some dads from the Bible. David, he was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't a perfect dad. He made plenty of mistakes, and it wreaked havoc on his family. But one thing he did do right was prepare his son Solomon to become king. Even on the day he died, he was still giving him clear instructions. We see here in 1 Kings 2, David imparts leadership. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. "I'm about to go the way of all the earth," he said. "So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go." You can see that David just wanted the best for Solomon. David and Solomon had a solid father-child relationship. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist, made to be silent before he was born and to fight for John's name only 8 days into being a dad. We see here in Luke 1, Zechariah supporting John in his mission from the day John was born. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. They had a strong father-child relationship. Then we have Joseph, an amazing stepdad, who from the start protects Mary and her unborn baby from shame, and from the moment of Jesus' birth, protects him from Herod. We see here in Matthew 2. When he had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left to Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I call my son." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Joseph and Jesus had a strong father-child relationship. Some fathers and sons from the Bible weren't related by blood, but they were united at the heart. That's the case with Paul and Timothy. Paul invested his time into Timothy, who went on to guide the church in Ephesus. Paul called him beloved son, and you see here in 2 Timothy 1 how thankful Paul was for Timothy as a son and a student. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God who I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Even though they weren't father and son by blood, they had that strong father-child relationship. Here we have biblical examples of a leader father, a supportive father, a protective father, and a teaching father. But there is one father who is all these things and more, God, our Abba. Abba, in this case, is not a Swedish pop group, but is the Aramaic word for father, and is used as a term of an intimacy and affection when addressing God. Isn't it a beautiful word? It's a beautiful word, is it not? So much vulnerability and respect all wrapped up in one word. Abba is used three times in the Bible, once from Jesus himself and twice from Paul. Some say it expresses a close personal relationship with God, like calling him daddy, like when Jesus cried out Abba in the garden. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but your will. I always imagine a sick child calling for their daddy, not dad or father, but completely vulnerable and reliant on their dad. My stepdad, Kev, has been there for me pretty much from the first day he met me and agreed to collect me and Ben from a potentially emotional scan when we was doing IVF. But a more recent story really sums up our relationship. I had a week away with the family, and it didn't go completely to plan, and at the end of the week, I was desperate to get home. I was an emotional mess, physically exhausted, and ready to hide away for the rest of the year. My stepdad came to pick us up, and without saying much, he just hugged me. In that moment, that's all I needed, and suddenly I could breathe again. I knew that I was safe, loved, and supported, and most importantly, he was taking me home. That's the moment I needed my daddy. God is who we can turn to no matter what. He's the Abba who will help us breathe again in hard situations. He's the Abba who plans our path and makes it straight. He's the Abba who won't judge us by our mistakes, who will forgive, encourage, and love us no matter what. It would be amazing to stand up here and know that everyone I look out on has that sort of relationship with their earthly father as well as their heavenly one. But alas, I can't. But what I can be sure on is if you want that relationship with your heavenly father, then it's right there for the grabbing. In essence, Abba represents a shift in how believers relate to God, from viewing him as a distant, commanding figure to a loving, present and intimate father. It is a relationship of two-way love and honour, and that love would be a gift enough for all of us. But God is even more generous than that, and we believe here at Freedom Vineyard that God gives his people gifts and that there is a joy in celebrating in anything he gives us. God made us to be in community with each other, and he used the family setup to populate the earth. There are many animals out there who multiply without any sort of family setup. So the fact that humans have pretty much always worked through families means that's important to God. He also made us in his image. So if God shows us what a loving, leading, supportive, protective and teaching father he is, then that is the image that is gifted to us to live out as fathers, father figures and children. We get the joy of living in his image. So if he demonstrates the importance of an ultimate child, father-child relationship, as he does with Jesus and with us, then we should also get the gift of the earthly version of that relationship with our earthly father figures. Yes, earthly fathers are human, and therefore they have flaws. Some have more flaws in relationship, and we offer prayers for them now because they miss out on the fruit of that gift of fatherhood. However, we can look beyond those flawed biological dads and instead celebrate the joy of fathers, spiritual fathers, adoptive fathers, and father figures who really honour the relationship. God wants us to celebrate our father-child relationship with him, but equally he wants us to celebrate all the images of that relationship, all the loving relationships between loving father figures with their children, to celebrate the joy of the gift of these relationships from God, and to thank all the men who take the responsibility seriously as they honour God by living up to his image. He planned you before you were even born, and he's waiting for each of us to say, I want that relationship. So what are you waiting for? Go grab it with both hands and live the life that he wants you to. The more you give him, the more you will get back. He will give you. The more he will give you.